This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Hosea chapter 3, look what verse 5 says. Hosea chapter 3, it says, "Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king." Now get this. "And shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." Now, fear's all around us. Certainly people have all kind of fear, especially in this climate and in this culture. Fear's all around us. But the Bible says here, fearing the goodness of God. That doesn't make sense. Fearing God's goodness. That's an oxymoron. It almost seems like it doesn't go together. Kind of like you say, "Pastor, what's an oxymoron?" It's when words just don't go together. Like a crash landing. That's an oxymoron. Jumbo shrimp. That's an oxymoron. Taped live. That's an oxymoron. Deafening silence. That's an oxymoron. Here's one. Pretty ugly. That's an oxymoron. Here would be one. Georgia football. Just don't go together. The goodness of God and fearing the goodness of God. You know, we have a tendency sometimes to say, "Since I became a Christian, God's been so good to me. Since I got saved, God has been so good to me." And you know, that is true. But you know, the truth is, God's always been good to you. God's always been good to you, because the Bible says this in Psalms 23:6. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That is to say, ladies and gentlemen, when you were in your mother's womb, God was good to you. And ever since you've been out, God's been good to you. And to the day you die, God's going to be good to you. Because goodness and mercy has followed you and will continue to follow you all the days of your life. I love what A.W. Tozer said. A.W. Tozer said, "The goodness of God is infinitely more wonderful than we will ever be able to comprehend." The goodness of God is infinitely more wonderful than we will be able to comprehend. See, whether you realize it or not, it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. That's what the Bible says. It's the goodness of God. When we realize how good God has been to us, it leads us to want to repent. Now, the Bible says in Hosea chapter 3, verse 5, that we ought to fear the goodness of God. That we ought to have a respect and awe just of the goodness of God. And I want to make four statements that are so important concerning this. Number one, I believe we ought to fear taking God's grace for granted. I believe we ought to fear taking God's grace for granted. I'll tell you something. God's grace was free, but it certainly wasn't cheap. It was just free. It wasn't cheap. Now, you know, you read that verse in Hosea chapter 3, verse 5, about fearing God's goodness, but you've got to get the proper context. See, in Hosea chapter 3, verse 1, God told Hosea to marry a woman. God told Hosea to marry a woman. This right here should have been a red flag. Her name was Gomer. That should have been a flag. And he marries a lady named Gomer. But understand something. After just a short time, she starts living the life of a harlot. After just a short time, this woman literally becomes a prostitute. She stoops to an all-time low. Because the Bible says in Hosea 3 and 2 that she's sold as a slave. She's actually sold, the total cost is 30 pieces of silver. And that was the price of a slave during biblical days. And the Bible says the day came that Hosea goes down to town and he sees these men and they're bidding on her. And it's his wife, this prostitute, they're bidding on. And God says to him, you buy her back. You buy her back. Let me say something, folks. This is all I'm going to say. If there's one thing that the Word of God teaches, it teaches forgiveness. If there's one thing that the Word of God teaches, it teaches to forgive people. That's the message of Jesus, that we ought to forgive one another. Thank God, folks, that God forgives, amen? And so the Bible says that the men were bidding on her. But every time they bid, Hosea would step up and he would bid higher. The Bible says in verse 3, eventually he bought her back. And I wasn't there for the conversation, but I believe this is what happened. I believe, no doubt, she said to him, I'm so sorry. He said, baby, that's okay. Don't worry about it. And I believe she said to him, I did you so wrong. He said, honey, that's okay. And I believe sometime in the conversation, she probably said, I quit loving you. But I believe old Hosea said, but I never stopped loving you. You said, Pastor Benny, why would you tell us that story? Why would you tell us that story? Because it's a picture of our lives. It's a picture of you. It's a picture of me. See, we were wonderfully and gloriously created by God. But we chose to go out and sin. We chose to sin. We chose to turn our back on God. And let me tell you what God did. He bought us back. You say, Pastor, he bought us back. How did he buy us back? Well, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 tells us, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things. As silver and gold. See, Hosea used silver and gold. You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ. As a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, ladies and gentlemen, I owed a debt. I owed a debt that I could not pay. And I thank God that Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. And I want to report to you, we ought to fear taking God's grace for granted. We ought to fear taking God's grace for granted in light of what he's done for us. Let me tell you something else we ought to fear. We ought to fear losing the goodness of God. We ought to fear losing the goodness of God. See, people live their lives being scared of God. I don't think God wants us to live our lives being scared of him. Many times people had a father that they were scared of, and they equate God to being that kind of God. Let me say something today. I don't know who this is for. God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. God's not looking. He's not up in heaven with a billy club wanting to punish you. I wish I had the terminology and the vernacular to describe how much God loves people. I don't have the terminology to describe today how much God loves you. I don't have the terminology to describe it. I can't express how special you are to God. It matters not what you look like. It matters not where you came from. It matters not who your family is. It matters not what you've done or have not done. I want you to know something. God loves you right where you are. And there's nothing you can do to make God not love you. There's nothing you can do to stop God from loving you. You say, Pastor, well, the Bible says to walk in the fear of the Lord. What does it mean to walk in the fear of the Lord? Most people think that that means I want to live my life so that God doesn't put his hand on me in form of retribution or punishment. Or discipline. No, no. Get this. Walking in the fear of God is living your life in such a manner that each day you realize and pray, God, don't take your hand off me. Don't take your hand off me. See, that's what the Jabez prayer is about. Lord, would you bless me indeed? Would you enlarge my coast? Would you keep your good hand up on me? And keep me from evil. See, the goodness in your life is because the good hand of God is on your life. The goodness in your ministry, the goodness in your family, the goodness in your business is because the good hand of God is on your life. It's on your family. It's on you. And what we want to live our lives, folks, and we want to ask God, God, you've been so good to me. Don't ever take your good hand off me. You say, Pastor, can it happen? Well, look what the Bible says. Paul said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that I by any means, just get this. Apparently, what we do with our bodies is important. That's all I'm going to say. Apparently, somebody said, well, you know, it's my life. I'm going to do what I want to. Yeah, yes, but there's going to be ramifications. Apparently, what we do with our bodies. Somebody said, I can just live like I want to and God's hand be on my life. That's not true. That's not true. You can't live like you want to and God's hand of blessing be on your life. Look what he said. When I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, in all I've done, God can remove his hand, and I'm a castaway. See, understand something. There's no explanation for what has happened at Rock Springs Church other than the hand of God. There's no explanation other than God's hand being on this place and being on this body of people. See, always remember, God will share his power with all of us. He'll share his power with all of us, but he's not going to share his glory with any of us. Only God is to receive glory. See, I understand. It's the good hand of God. While this year, in the middle of a pandemic, that 1,350 people have given their lives to Jesus Christ. In the middle of a pandemic, Macon campus, you've led 149 souls to Jesus Christ. In the middle of a pandemic, Branch campus, you've led 120 souls to Jesus Christ. In the middle of a pandemic, Rock Springs Church has received 550 new members. Only God can do that. In the middle of a pandemic, we finished phase one of our recreational complex. And I thought, my goodness, what a blessing this has been to people as we're walking through and going through a pandemic when everything is closed down. It's opened up for people. and simply no charge, just come and use it. In the middle of a pandemic, God blessed us to install a cross that reaches 120 feet in the air. And right now we're in the process of putting the prayer garden in and putting the baptismal pool that every church anywhere is welcome to come and use and baptize their people, because Rock Springs is a church that believes in the capital C church. Right in front of me is a manger. Right in front of me. You said, Pastor Benny, how did you think it would go this year, the manger offering? Because everything like it is, how did it go? Let me tell you how it went. The largest manger offering ever, $500,000. $500,000. And of course, from that, we'll move to phase two of the recreational complex and start building the recreational facilities. But I'm excited about the recreational facilities, but I'm also excited we're going to take those resources. We're going to go to our Macon campus, and our Macon campus, we're going to build a worship facility for youth and teenagers, and we're going to build a worship facility for the children down at the Macon campus. Let me share something with you that you don't know. When the pandemic happened in March, I walked into the financial office and I said, listen to me closely. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And this is where I'm at. I said, I'm not going to hunker and I'm not going to bunker. No, I'm going to be on the front line. And we're going to get on the front line. And this year, what we need to do, in light of everything that's going on, we need to give more money than we've ever given in the history of the church. And the reason why we need to give like we've never given before is because we don't know what's going to happen. And God is our source. God is our source. And he said, give and it shall be given to you. And I'm just going to say this personally. Barbara and I said, I'll tell you what we need to do. I don't even know if I'm going to have a job. I don't know if I'm going to have a job. I don't know if people are going to come to church. I don't know what's going to happen. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to personally increase my giving. We're going to personally increase. And Barbara said, yes, let's do it. We made a conscious decision. We're going to personally increase our giving, because God is our source. And I went into that financial office and I said, we're going to increase our giving because God, ladies and gentlemen, listen, Delta Airlines is not your source. God is your source. God is the one that will take care of you. God is the one that will see you through. So we just intensified the support to Israel. Let me give you a news flash that's in the Bible, and maybe you can help me out. Romans 1 and 16. And by the way, I'm not going to be done by 12 o'clock, so just relax. Just relax. Let's do it. Romans 1 and 16 says this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Wait. To the Jew first. When did that change? By the way, those men who wrote that Bible that you're reading, they're Jewish. Not a Mexican in the bunch. Not an Anglo in the bunch. Mary and Joseph's last name was not Smith. They were Jewish. Even when Jesus was hung on the cross, he was labeled King of the Jews. So I said, we got to give more resources than ever to Israel. So in Israel right now, we're building homes for Holocaust survivors. In Israel right now, they're surrounded by those Arab nations, so we're building bomb shelters. So when bombs happen, those people have got a safe place to go to. We're providing food for those people in Israel. We're providing supplies for, hey, folks, we can give God praise for that. It's because of your generosity. That's what we're doing. But we said, no. It's not enough to provide all that. We've got to give them the Bible. So we're translating Bibles in their language. We support an organization that we give Christian literature in their language. And we're reaching these people for Jesus Christ because of God's good hand and because of your generosity. Is that reason enough to praise the Lord? I love Israel deeply. But let me say, I love America. I love America. And let me say thank you to every man or woman who has served or are serving our country. You're our heroes. Thank you for your service to our country. So we said we got to intensify the giving. We support an organization called Operation Heal Our Patriots. Operation Heal Our Patriots, because we know that men and women go and they serve our country. And many times they come back and they've experienced traumatic experiences. They've experienced PTSD and they need help. So we give resources to send couples to Alaska where these couples can be helped. Many times their marriages have been torn apart, but because of your generosity, we support an organization that helps our soldiers and helps their wives and saves their marriages. Folks, that's reason enough to praise the Lord. Amen? We decided this year we needed to launch a church. We launched a church in Mobile, Alabama. It's called Parkway Church. That's literally changing the lives of hundreds of people. We put together shoeboxes because of your generosity. We put together over 800 shoeboxes to make sure that boys and girls in other countries have something for Christmas. I've always had a place for single moms. So we spent thousands of dollars helping single moms this Christmas. So single moms and their children could have a better Christmas. You know, I said what the enemy meant for bad, God was going to use for good. And so when COVID hit, our streaming ministry exploded. We've gone into 50 states now. All 50 states. Look, folks, we're into 48 different countries. Some of the countries, get real, Benny Tate can't even pronounce the country name. But here's what I know. What that rascal Satan meant for evil, God's turned around and he's going to use for good. Our clinic saw over 1,500 patients and gave away over $5 million worth of medication. You know, when COVID hit, I said, no, listen closely. I don't mean this wrong. I'm not going to hunker. I'm not going to bunker. We need the church more now than we ever have before. You're never going to convince me that Home Depot and Walmart is more essential than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to convince me of that. I run into people every week in restaurants telling me, "Preacher, I just don't feel safe in church." Well, listen, call it IHOP and come on back. Amen. God help us. I said, listen to me closely, folks. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And God's going to take care of us and God's going to see us through. So wait, when COVID happened, we said, no, We want to help those that are on the front line. So we're going to get to the hospitals, and we're going to get to the nursing homes, and we're going to get to the hospice facilities, and we're going to take meals, and we're going to care for these people, and we're going to let them know that we're praying for them. So what we did, we're in Central Georgia, folks. So we found 33 different facilities in Central Georgia. Because of your giving, we started taking food. We started taking meals. We just started providing care. We just started saying, we are here for you. Just a few days ago, 450 cars came through the parking lot, and we were loading them down with groceries because of generosity. We were loading them down with groceries, and mamas and daddies and little babies were saying to us, we're going to have a better Christmas. We're going to have Christmas. We're going to have food for Christmas because of the generosity. Thank you for this food. Can I get one more bag? We're going to have food for Christmas because of this church. This year, Impact Christian Ministries provided thousands on top of thousands of meals, a ministry of our church, hot meals for people that otherwise wouldn't have a meal. I'll tell you what, we ought to fear taking the grace of God for granted. We ought to fear losing the goodness of God, because, friend, we need the goodness of God more than we need anything else. I'm almost done. Yeah, I'm going to preach a little longer because you're not coming back to next year anyway. We ought to fear becoming accustomed to His goodness. By the way, you can. You can become, see, you can think where you're at right now, somehow you're entitled to that. The children of Israel left Egypt. After 75 days, they ran out of food. You know what God did? Every morning, He'd rain down manna from heaven. Every morning, sunbeam bread. Do you folks read the Bible? Sunbeam bread. And you know what they said? Is that just bread? God said, okay. I'm going to send a wind in the evening and blow you in some quail. Yeah. I mean, literally, he'd send, the Bible says, a wind would just blow the quail in. You think, wow. Can you imagine? I mean, think about that, folks. You look up in the sky and sunbeam bread's coming down. You look over here and quail's coming down. That God's just supernaturally providing. You say, Brother Benny, that was wonderful. I can't imagine that. You know what they did? In Numbers chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, they began to complain. What happened? They became accustomed to the goodness of God. I'm just stressing my heart. We can become accustomed to God's goodness and think somehow we just deserve it to be like this. Barbara and I got married right here's where we lived. That was not our vehicle. We didn't have a vehicle that nice, but that's where we lived. You could throw down your handkerchief and have carpet wall to wall. That's where we lived. Why did you live there, Pastor? Because we didn't own one piece of furniture. You mean you got married, Pastor, and you didn't own any furniture? No, we were poor. We were poor, poor, poor. I'll tell you how poor we were. We went to Kentucky Fried Chicken to lick other people's fingers. We were. We were poor. God knows this is true. I worked in a machine shop. Barbara's right over there, and she knows it's true. I'd run a milling machine with hot shavings and wouldn't have money for shoes. And I'd take duct tape and tape my shoes up. And the boss on Friday would hand me my check. And when he handed me my check, I would start praying. God, let me have enough gas to get to the bank to cash this check. By the way, since it's just us, anybody ever live like that other than me? Some of us. I'd get my check cashed and go next door to get a money order. Pay the bills. I had cast iron in my hands. I still remember the man would put the money order on the counter. Put the change on the counter. Because it didn't want to touch my hands with that cast iron in them. Hadn't always been Dr. Benny Tate. That's why I have such a heart for people. Friday night was the special night. No, I'm being too personal now. But Friday night was the special night. The only night of the week we got to go out. Burger King, $1.99. Whopper combos. You hear me closely. I don't ever want to become accustomed to the goodness of God. God's been good to me. God's been good to me. And by the way, I'm not ashamed of what the Lord has done for me. He's been good to me, and I'm not going to be quiet about it. If you're hunting First Baptist Frigidaire, this is not it. And I'm not Dr. Jack Frost. I can't get over what God has done for me. Can't get over what God has done for me. Let me give you the last, and I'm trying to stop. We ought to fear not expressing gratitude enough. We ought to fear not expressing gratitude enough. The Bible says this, just to show you what we're doing is biblical. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. What should happen when we come to church? We ought to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. It should be a praise environment. R.T. Kendall. He said, sometimes loud music drowns out one singing. Sometimes the music can be so loud it drowns out the singing. And he said, this is not good. And by the way, I agree with you, RT. Doesn't happen here, but other places. But I long for the day that a congregation will be so overcome with thanksgiving that their singing drowns out the music. Say, Pastor, can you not express gratitude enough? Yes, you can. I want to prove it, and then I'm done. This is it. And it came to pass, as Jesus went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he went into this village, and they met him 10 men that were lepers. Leprosy was a skin disease. It would literally just rot the eyes out. Fingers would fall off. It was a terrible disease. And notice what it says, folks. They stood afar off. Because you got to understand something. If you had leprosy, you was ostracized from society. You couldn't be with the people. And if I had leprosy and I seen somebody coming, I had to put my hand over my mouth and start saying unclean, unclean, unclean to make sure they didn't come close because it was believed you could contract it. And they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, would you have mercy on us? And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. Now get this down. Why did Jesus say to them, Pastor, go show yourself to the priest? You've got to understand something. During biblical times, you couldn't get back into society. You couldn't acclimate back into society until the priest said you were clean. So that's why Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, because the priest gave the approval that you could acclimate back into society. But look here. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Get this. You think the blessing of God is not tied to obedience? What if they just stayed there? As they went, they were cleansed. Had they not gone? See, if you'll go, he'll low. Amen? If you'll go, he'll low. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back. Look, by the way, if you give me a hard time, with a loud voice, glorified God. You say, our preacher gets loud. Well, this guy did too, amen? And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, for he was a Samaritan. Wait just a minute. No, go back, guys. Apparently, folks, it's okay to get on our face before God. It's okay to fall down at his feet. And more often, we ought to fall down at his feet. It's okay to fall at his feet. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are those other 9? Their lives were in disarray. And I touched them. But they can't even say thank you. They can't bow down. I'll just use me. I wonder how many times Jesus has said, where's Benny at? I've been awful good to that rascal. Where's he at? He gets so caught up in everything. I wish Benny'd take time to thank me. I wish Benny'd take time to express gratitude. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Now get this, folks, and I'm done. And he said unto him, go thy way. Your faith made you whole. 10 men cleansed. 1 man was whole. 10 men cleansed. 1 man whole. You've been cleansed. You want to be whole? Express gratitude to God. You've been cleansed. You want to be whole? Express gratitude to God for your salvation, for your health, for your family, that you're able to be here. Express gratitude to God. We ought to fear not expressing gratitude enough. That scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, if we could pull that back. Look, thank you guys, and I'm done. And everything give thanks. I don't know what God's will is for all you people, but I do know part of God's will. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.